We welcome the decision by the Security Council to extend the arms embargo on South Sudan and targeted sanctions against certain individuals in the country, because this measure protects victims of this gun violence. We have research that has demonstrated that people with guns in South Sudan have used those guns to commit conflict-related sexual violence. And as you will know, the reduction in the conflict-related sexual violence was one of the benchmarks that had initially been set by the Security Council to review this arms embargo. Recent reports by various UN teams that operate in South Sudan have shown that, unfortunately, conflict-related sexual violence cases have continued to go on the rise, and it was necessary that the Security Council sends a message to the government in South Sudan that it needs to take measures to reduce these violations of people's rights. So this is a good move.
The government of South Sudan has been arguing for years now that these renewals of the arms embargo, which was first imposed in 2018, they're saying the arms embargo is harmful and it's unfair. It doesn't reflect the progress the parties of South Sudan peace agreement have made so far, where they have a peace agreement in place, then trying to implement it, and they're supposed to hold elections in 2024. Now, what do you say to that?
I think the government is not being sincere in saying that they have made some progress. For sure, we've seen some training and graduation of the necessary unified forces. But I think it's just a game they are playing around in terms of trying to graduate them with sticks. There has been no serious commitment towards implementing the benchmarks that were initially set. A report by the panel of experts on South Sudan has shown that the government South Sudan has been having new weapons brought in during the time when they were under sanctions. And this means that the government has had weapons. In any case, the report also showed that the government had not spent a single cent on the implementation of the various steps that were needed to implement the revitalized peace agreement. Most of the things that have been done have only been done because of the support from external actors and the international community. So the government has not shown any seriousness in terms of implementation of the various set objectives towards addressing the violations that happen, generally implementing the peace agreement as it was envisaged. But more importantly, the government has not taken the issue of justice and accountability into you know, seriously, as it has done the other aspects of transitional justice, which are the reconciliation, truth and reconciliation, and reparation. Even though there has been nothing concrete done on that other end, but we could see some efforts from the government. And I don't want to go into that because that is really not our mandate as Amnesty International. But our insistence on addressing the issues of conflict-related sexual violence and other, and accountability, holding people who commit some of these crimes accountable, remains unattended to by the government of South Sudan.
On this very issue, you talk about violations against civilians, sexual violence, and other atrocities committed in South Sudan. The government of South Sudan has argued that now we have the unified forces, we have trained them, we need to arm them, and then deploy them throughout the country to enforce security or ensure security, because some of these violations are happening in the context of intercommunal violence and localized conflict. And because of the arms embargo, we're not able to do that. Well, what do you say to this argument?
First of all, the government has enough weapons to deploy these forces. But I just want to correct a notion that some of the violence that we see in South Sudan is localized and somehow there is no involvement of the central government. Again, research has shown that in most cases, this so-called ethnic or localized violence is actually instigated by forces, political forces at the national level. So the national authorities, the leadership in Juba, the leadership from both the government side and the opposition side, are responsible for this violence that we see in the various states in South Sudan. If they were to stop, you know, instigating and funding this violence, then there will be no need for us to even ask for weapons. But you will also recall a number of reports that have shown how there is widespread proliferation of weapons, small arms, in South Sudan. Indeed, it is really not localized or ethnic fighting. It is instigated, it's political, instigated by the leadership at the top.